Cellist Marcy Rosen and pianist Lydia Artemu have just released the complete works for cello and piano by Felix Mendelssohn. As they assembled this recording, they made a few discoveries. And you'll find out more in this edition of New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Almacher. Marcy, I wanted to start off by having each you and Lydia just basically introduce yourself and give us a little kind of a mini introduction to who you are. If you were to run into somebody who hadn't met you, how would you describe yourself so they could get to know you? Why don't you start, Marcy?
Well, I am a cellist. I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. I've lived in the East for most of my life because I went away to school when I was 15. I went to Curtis. I was in the Mendelssohn String Quartet for 31 years, and I've also always had a huge love for chamber music. Obviously, I've had a music festival in Maryland for 33 years. It's called Chesapeake Chamber Music. And so my whole life has been immersed in chamber music and playing the cello, and it's a pretty fantastic, way to live.
Now, Lydia, your turn.
Hi, I'm so delighted to be here with you, Julie, and with Marcy. My name is Lydia Artemu. My parents were Ukrainian, but I was born in Philadelphia and grew up there. And my principal teacher was Gary Grafman, who was for many years the director and president of the Curtis Institute. I came to the University of Minnesota with my husband, David Grayson, who's a musicologist, a Harvard graduate, in 1989. And we were both offered jobs here. He got a musicology position, and I got a piano position, and we've been here ever since. Now, what's interesting is that I met David at the Marlboro Music Festival in 1972. In 1973, he turned pages for me when I was performing the Dvorak Dumky Trio, and that was the beginning of our friendship, and then later we married. But I also met Marcy at the Marlboro Festival, first in 1975, but we didn't actually work together until early 2000, maybe 2001. And it was just wonderful to play with Marcy, and so we formed a bond at that time, which has continued.
Now, Marcy, I know that you were one of the founding members of the Mendelssohn String Quartet. I was curious, does that mean you have an affinity for this composer, perhaps?
Well, I do, but not just because my quartet was named Mendelssohn, because in fact my quartet was named after Moses Mendelssohn, the grandfather of Mendelssohn, who was a famous Jewish philosopher. That's kind of the story that goes behind that. Of course, we played all of his quartets. But yes, I love Mendelssohn. I think he's an incredible genius. He writes incredibly heartfelt, personal, and very, very beautiful music. And it was great producing this body of his works and getting to have a real affinity for his style and taste. And I think that often his music can be played rather aggressively, but I think it's such lyrical and gentle playing for the most part. So I'm so happy that we were able to put our stamp on there and present a recording that I think shows the music in a different light.
Yes, this is Lydia. It's so interesting that some of this repertoire is almost never performed. And of all of the pieces that we recorded, the most famous is the Second Sonata. And why the First Sonata is not played more frequently is really a mystery to me. But as Marcy says, I think a lot of people think that Mendelssohn is somewhat glib and superficial, because so much of the music demands the ultimate virtuosity. Playing Mendelssohn is like playing Mozart. I mean, you can't hide anywhere. Either you can play it or you can't. And if you miss a note, if something isn't exact, or, in every technical aspect, it has to be all there. But the music demands so much more. And I always like to think of the slow movements in these sonatas as songs without words. Thank you. And then he wrote a song without words for cello and piano, which we also recorded. But of course, the songs without words were Mendelssohn's creation. He wrote 48 of them for solo piano. And I'm always astonished at how many pianists I know, some very famous, who really don't play them and don't know them. Because for me, this is the core of Mendelssohn's music, a song without words. And he even wrote himself that he felt that sometimes words got in the way, and that what the music could express was much more eloquent than the words. So I think this is just such incredible music. It is very demanding, and certainly we spent many hours of preparation, both individually and getting together for rehearsals in order to prepare this project. But I'm so happy that we did, because I think both of us shared this bond. We love this music, and that's the most important thing.
Now, you talk about how it is challenging, and I would love for you to maybe each of you give me an example, perhaps in the Sonata Number 1, which you're really passionate about and doesn't get enough attention. Where is there a section that maybe it even sounds so easy because the two of you have worked so hard at it, and yet it's very challenging? Because we'll have a chance to give a little musical example as you're talking about it. So I would love to hear each of you speak a little bit about that sonata. Maybe bring something to our attention that you'd like us in particular to zoom in on.
Well, Mrs. Marcy, one hates to admit that there are technical challenges that one has to practice to make it sound easy. At the beginning, even at the very start of the first sonata, there's a triplet passage for the cello that is actually incredibly tricky. And to have to do that at the opening of a piece without stumbling, I found that quite challenging. Likewise, in the last movement, there's all these 16th note passages that get tossed around between the cello and the piano, and those are also quite tricky. Playing the 16th note passages in any of the works, to make them even and clean and light and fluid, it takes a good deal of time to make that happen.
Now, Lydia, I see you have the score in front of you.
Yes, I brought the score.
Do you have markings on there that remind you? I mean,
oh, definitely. Now, I agree with Marcy about the places she chose. I would add for the pianist that the second movement, which is really an elfin scherzo and reminds me of Midsummer's Night's Dream. Middle part when is a gorgeous song without words, and then when the A section returns, what Mendelssohn does is he makes the left hand in arpeggiated grace note 16ths, and they have to sound like pizzicati. They have to sound exactly like what the cello is doing there. That is a very difficult passage for the pianist, and it's all in the left hand. Then the right hand plays the theme, and that has to be more legato. So you really have to sound like two different people when you're playing that passage. And as Marcy said, the piano part is filled with running 16th notes in scales and arpeggios. It's incredibly hard for the cello. It's not easier for the piano. The pianist really has to practice. I mean, sometimes this is equivalent to playing a piano concerto. The same kind of passage work is featured in Mendelssohn's Piano Concerti. So everything is very demanding.
Now, one of the things I was hearing in listening, especially to the two sonatas and maybe even in the variations, is the fact that it is very collaborative. It sounds like you both, it's not like this is a cello sonata accompanied by piano. I mean, you're both taking a very shared role.
Exactly.
Well, it's chamber music, and that's what makes it such a great thing to play. It's not all about one person. And in chamber music, it's never about an individual voice. It's about the whole and what you project as an ensemble. And working with Lydia has always been such a joy because it's never about either of us. It's about the music.
Exactly. And I'd like to add to that, this is Lydia, that Mendelssohn actually wrote two of these pieces for his brother, Paul Mendelssohn, who was his younger brother and a very fine cellist, even though he didn't become a professional cellist. Felix often played with Paul. And in fact, the variations are dedicated to him. And then the first sonata was also written for Paul for his birthday, about 10 years later. So the fact that the two brothers played together, I think, also has a very strong impact on the music. Because the way that Mendelssohn writes this music, he gives each of the instruments a chance to shine, but then everything comes together. And that's the beauty of the music. It's really a dialogue. You feel you're always having a conversation.
I am very pleased that Paul Mendelssohn is achieving a little bit of notoriety from the release of this recording. He's been mentioned in every review, and basically nobody ever really heard of him before. So I'm thrilled that he's getting some very warranted publicity out of this.
Yes, I agree. And we can thank my husband, David Grayson, who did the notes.
Absolutely.
Because his notes begin with that. And it's such interesting information. I mean, we know more about Fanny Mendelssohn, Felix's older sister, who was also a fantastic pianist and composer. But we really don't know much about Paul. So this has all been enlightening. And if I may, I would just like to read a brief quote about the first cello sonata that was reviewed by Robert Schumann. A smile hovers round his mouth, this is Mendelssohn, but it is that of delight in his art. And how beneficent is this glimpse of inner wealth, of peace, of inner grace. This sonata is of the purest, most self-sufficing music, as fine and clear and original a sonata as has ever proceeded from the greatest of master hands. End quote. And what a beautiful review that Schumann wrote about this piece.
The second sonata, it was written for Paul to play, but it was dedicated to a different amateur cellist, correct?
Correct, yes. Count Vihorsky, who actually owned a very famous Strad dated 1712. And the Count bestowed this cello on a wonderful cellist named Karl Davidoff, and it became known as the Davidoff Strad. Many years later, Jacqueline Dupré played on that Strad. It was her favorite one. And then it was passed on to Yo-Yo Ma, who does most of his performances on that. So it's so interesting to think that here is this Strad that Mendelssohn played with I mean, when he played with the Count.
Now, has Yo-Yo Ma recorded these Mendelssohn sonatas?
He has
sonatas?
Not.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what's so interesting. Well, many years ago, I did play the B-flat sonata with Yo-Yo. But I'm surprised that he never did this project because, you know, it should be in his recorded repertoire.
Let's be grateful that he hasn't done that yet.
So why do you think, either of you, why do you think the second sonata has gained so much more popularity than the first?
Well, it's a more joyful piece in certain ways. It's more exuberant. It's a little flashier in terms of just the technique. It's got that incredible slow movement. That really is just unparalleled in terms of the personal nature of the expression of that movement. It's different for everybody. There is certainly not a way to play that. It has to be very personal to each individual. It's almost a recitative, and I think it's just so moving.
Oh, I agree. And speaking of challenges, the entire piano part, it's based on chords. I mean, the cello will play the chorale melody, but the chords have to be rolled and arpeggiated like a harp. And so it's very hard on the piano to play that kind of sound where not only do you roll the chords beautifully, but then you also project the melody, which is always hidden in the chord, and do it in such a way that it supplements the cello when it comes in. So this is not a technical issue. This is purely a musical issue. So it takes a lot of thought.
One of the things that I found especially striking about this recording is the beautiful balance that the two of you create between your two instruments. What does it take for that to happen?
Lots of careful playing from the pianist.
Lydia is a sensitive partner, and so she has wonderful ears and knows how to balance.
Well, again, what I said before, this music demands such clarity. And so any pianist who plays Mendelssohn in a ferocious way is totally missing the point, because this music is all about a kind of light brilliance. But it has to have that sparkle, has to have tremendous energy. Energy doesn't mean you necessarily play loud. And that's something I think, I know a lot of my students have this problem. And so it's always good practice for them to play something of Mendelssohn. In order to achieve the drama, always with the lyrical impulse, because that's how the music is. It always sings. It can be very exciting, very dramatic, but you have to have a light touch throughout and very clear passage work.
Well, Lydia is a genius at doing exactly what she's talking about. So she is the perfect person to play Mendelssohn with, because she She never leaves anything out. Everything is always crystal clear. So I'm very grateful for that. And
well, I try.
yeah. I mean, I think his music is effervescent and it's inspiring. And so for me to get that recorded, it was a real treat and a real honor to do.
Now, I'm curious, what did each of you learn about yourselves in the process of putting this recording together?
Well, I usually thrive under great pressure. I mean, it's very hard, it's exhausting, but sometimes I think the greater the pressure, the greater the stress levels, it brings out the best, I think. And the other thing is, I've always loved recording because there are no distractions from an audience. Sometimes you even change the way you might play if someone's coughing or if you feel the audience is bored or restless. Then that may affect the way that you play. Whereas when the recording light is on, you are just totally immersed in the music with no distractions whatsoever. And that, to me, is very rewarding. I derive my inspiration directly from the music and my relationship also with whom I'm playing, obviously, which is paramount, but also the relationship that I have with the piano. If I really like the piano, and I can do all the nuances and details that are so important that I feel, then to me, that's the most satisfying kind of experience. Also, you know, you can always redo something if you're not satisfied. So, I mean, what could be better than that?
The preparation for it is perhaps even more detailed than preparing for a performance because you're putting down something that you're really making a statement. It's going to be a permanent statement of your approach to the music and your feelings about the music and your execution of the music. So it's a tremendously detailed preparation in terms of practicing. And I actually really love the focus and the intensity of the recording process because you're doing exactly what you want. And like Lydia said, you can do it again. And that's kind of amazing. It's an intense experience, and we played very, very all out for the days that we were in the studio. And by the end of the last day, my fingers were literally bleeding because they had cracked, and, you know, I just couldn't do any more. We had used it up, but we got it.
Well, you give it your all. But I think every great musician does, whether they're playing in concert or doing a recording. And regardless of where they are, it's not about the stature of the venue. A concert is really, you know, a chance for you to express what you feel and to communicate with your audience. And I think we try to keep that kind of communication vivid in the recording process as well. Because that's the danger of recording, is that recordings can be edited to be perfect. But sometimes in the process of trying to achieve that kind of perfection, you lose the musical gesture, the energy, the flow, you know, what are you communicating? And so I think that's what's really was so important for both of us, keeping the energy, keeping that sense of love and passion that we have for the music, keeping that vivid and alive.
That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. You can hear more episodes of New Classical Tracks wherever you get your favorite podcasts. That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher.